So good evening. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. So today, I'm sorry, people, I am grouchy today. I know it sounds really weird for a person to sort of come up and say that they feel grouchy, because truly, if most, grouchy, right? I know it seems weird that I'm saying that I'm feeling grouchy, but I am. And I've been feeling grouchy for the last, since what? Last week, Friday. So that was that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 5 days, right? And I always feel weird. I feel weird about this because I do feel grouchy or grouchy or grumpy. Grumpy is more the word, right? But it's weird because grumpy, if I'm feeling grumpy, I shouldn't be able to say I'm feeling grumpy. I should just be grumpy, right? I mean, most people who are grumpy are just grumpy, but I am. And like, I've been looking at why I'm grumpy and what I'm grumpy about. And I can honestly say I want and need a boyfriend, right? I mean, I am just putting myself out there. I'm exposing myself. I am sharing that I want and need a boyfriend. Now, I just want you to say, just want to say that on Sunday, I had the opportunity of having a coaching conversation and I looked at this situation, right? So what I discovered while I was having this conversation, I made all these notes and of course I left them. I can't share them with you, but I'm just going to go from memory. What I discovered and was talking about with the person that was coaching me was that I have this conversation that I don't need anyone, right? I don't need anyone or anything, but it's mostly anyone, right? And though I know that is not true, it was an experience that I uncovered, right? Unearthed this feeling. I know it theoretically. I know it intellectually, but in my soul, like when I really sort of like exposed and pulled that thing up, I was shocked. I was so shocked that like literally I spent, I'm not kidding you, almost half an hour in disbelief, because I do know that I need people. But the kind of need that I discovered that I want is the need of a relationship, right? With a person, with a man that is my partner. I need partnership, right? So put that, let's just put that on pause for a moment. I need people. I need community that I know. I need community. I need friendships. I need relationships. I need social, right? And those are all things that like are critically important to me. And I had it that if I need, I didn't want to need a relationship or need a man, because you see, I'm saying that like it's like a need, right? I'm saying that and my jaws, all of that, my mouth area is being stretched, right? Because it really is. And like, I feel free to say it now because it's something that's important to me, right? And I'm all about people doing things that are important for them. And for me, having a relationship and being in a relationship is important. And needing to be in a relationship is important. And what I got was that because I didn't want to need that, it made me scared. It frightened me because I have it that I don't want to have to need anyone in that way, because I do not want to be disappointed, right? So if I get into a relationship where I actually need a person, that man, and I start to depend on that man, I am going to have to be completely vulnerable. Ooh, that to me was frightening. Okay. And so with the discovery of that, like really looking at what would that look like? So I had to sort of retrace back my dating experience inside of the not needing, because it was like a blind spot conversation. It's like something that I couldn't see. So I'm walking around going, yeah, I really want to be in a relationship. Well, my mouth is saying it. I really want to be in a relationship. But the authenticity is like when I discovered the inauthenticity of it is that I want to be in a relationship that I can control. So I'm not gonna give of myself completely and fully. I'll give of myself sort of like in a way that my mouth is saying it, but for my whole being to be involved in that, it wasn't even something that I was aware of. And the needing, I couldn't need. So what do I attract? I attract men that can't give, men who can't, they're not comfortable. And I'm going to say it's me. They're not comfortable in taking the action. So I'm saying one thing, but who I'm being in the relationship is completely different, right? So what they won't engage me because my energy is not in alignment with what I'm saying and what I'm doing. So can I tell you what? Like, you know, we can talk here, right? This is my show and I can share with you what I need to share. It was one of the most eye-opening, because I've been saying it, I want a relationship. Why am I not getting a relationship? Why am I not attracted? I wasn't even asking why. I was just saying, oh, I'm just not meeting anybody. That's a lie. I meet people all the time. It was my being of not needing anybody. Everybody, I know I need people. Like I said, I need people in my community. I need people in my social life. I need people to do my business. I need people to listen to my radio show. I need everything, right? Because I need people and people need me. I'm okay with having people need me, but it's like having that intimate relationship and putting myself out there. I cried for like literally half an hour and I was literally in shock. I was in shock that I kept on saying, no, this doesn't make sense. This can't be me. But like I had to face the realization it is me, right? And so now I can step out into the world and say, I really do need a relationship. I need a relationship because I want a relationship and I want to be needed and I want to be able to need someone. And it's that special kind of need, that need where I feel secure because like I feel comfortable, I can be authentic and I can share myself fully. And I long to share myself fully with somebody that knows me and is willing to get to know me and I'm willing to get to know them. Anyway, so that wasn't the conversation tonight. But you know what? Like if I'm about being straight and if I'm about living life my way or living life your way or going beyond potential, it is important that I speak my truth. It is important that I say what so, because I'm sure there are other people out there, men and women, that are longing and looking for relationships. But there's a blind spot in the area of need. And I was just speaking with Sam here, my producer of the show, and he was sharing with me about an individual that had shame around not needing, right? And he shared a story about the guy going to the supermarket and carrying a whole world of groceries in his arms and somebody said, let me get the door for you. And he literally said to them, I don't need you to get the door. And then he realized in that moment, oh my God, I do need him to get the door. Like, you know, that's me walking around. I don't need a relationship. And my mouth saying, I really want a relationship. It's in the back of my head. I really want a relationship, but I don't want to need anyone. Nobody wants to be with somebody. Nobody's going to want to be with me if they're not going to feel needed, right? So I'm so glad, like seriously, I'm so glad that I got to see that that was a missing for me. So what I created myself now as a possibility of being in a relationship and being relationship and being needed and needing others. And like, it was so, I feel so liberated. I feel so free in that. And that's why I can have that conversation. And there's many of us like receiving. I'm a good receiver. I'm a really good receiver. I also am a very good giver, but I wasn't a good needer, if there's such a word. I wasn't good at the needing, right? So maybe there are other things in the blind spot. And what I'm taking on this week is looking, what else is in my blind spot? What else is in that rear view mirror of my life that I can't see, that if I saw it, it could like open and explode this area of relationship for me and put me into a realm of where I can actually commit and trust, right? That area of not just like trusting, but really trusting and giving of myself to that thing that I say I want, which is a relationship, right? And so what would a relationship look like for me if I were in a relationship with somebody? It would be fun, of course, without a doubt. It would be energetic. It would be generous. It would be honest and open and fantastically amazing, right? And what would all that, there's nothing that, it's not like in the doing, oh, he'd be 6'7" and he'd be this, that, and the other, and he'd, you know, hung like a donkey or... No, I don't want that. That'd be too much. That's too much. But like, you know, rather than the structural things, yes, of course, he would be attractive because he would be attractive to me, right? But there are the physical things that I desire, but those are not so important now. What's important is, they're important, but not prime importance number one. It's being, attracting somebody that wants to be needed and that we can actually need each other together, and we come into a relationship in a aligned alignment. Like, it's alignment for me, right? So anyway, I'm going to take this 1 minute break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So I'm back. So tonight, really, the story was, my show is supposed to be about names. What's in a name, right? And why are people's names so important? But you know what? I don't really want to talk about that. I don't really want to talk about names and why names are important. I'm really interested in the conversation of dating. I'm really interested in the conversation of what it takes to be in a relationship and what that would actually feel like you know. I mean, yes, I am in relationships in my life with people, but what would it feel like now that I am looking to be in a relationship with a man coming from nothing, like coming from like just being open and being creative, right? Like being a space for a relationship. Hi, Michael. Mike, how are you? Yeah, so I would like you to, Joan or Mike or Philip or whomever, if you're single and looking to mingle or looking to date, I would like you to call into the show at 877-480-4120. And first, I would like to ask you, what is it like to actually date somebody that doesn't need you? And then, what would that look like? What's the opposite of dating somebody that needs you, wants to be with you, and is enjoying being in the relationship and creating a relationship? I mean, it's been so long for me since I've been in a relationship that is mutually satisfying that I have absolutely no idea. So if you want to call in and like, let's talk about this, let's mash it up. I would love to hear that. You know, it's kind of like when I have been in relationships, I was married for 12 years, right? But I was, 20, right? So at 20, there is really nothing to sort of gauge your relationship on, right? Because you're free, you don't have any past experiences, you just don't have anything unless you have an experience of parents being in a marriage, right? And also is needing dependency, right? Dependency, or as they say, codependency, right? Well, you know, I did a workshop, which was called Calling in the One, and I call it Calling in the One Unapologetically, and it's by the book. The book is written by Catherine Woodward Thomas, and I created a workshop and led that workshop for 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, and I had a number of women go through the workshop. And one of the things that I remember vaguely in doing this work, I did it numerous times, and every time, you know, some things were consistent and some things were very different. And needing, like, there's, if we don't get what we need from an individual, we become needy, right? So if, for instance, you're an affectionate person and you're living with somebody or dating somebody who is not affectionate, but you continue to be with that person and don't get your needs met, you become needy, right? And so is that like a form of codependency? Are you dependent? Well, codependency, I don't see that as like a bad thing, right? Because it's a cooperation, right? Cooperation of being able to be dependent on a person. You want to be able to be dependent on a person, but I think the difference between codependency and dependency, and this is just my opinion, let me know if I'm wrong, write in, email. Codependency, if I tell you what I would like to depend on you for, if I share it with you, right? And you tell me that you can or you can't, then I have to listen to that, right? If you're not capable of fulfilling that need, which I need, then I have to be able to understand that, right? And if I can't understand that, then I'm going to be needy and I'm going to be codependent and I'm going to, it's going to be like very trying. Now, that's not the kind of relationship that I want. I want a relationship where we can both depend on each other. I want a relationship where it's clear in communication. I want a relationship that our needs get met. You know, one of the stories I heard today, and I'm going to repeat it, it was shared to me by an individual who was trying to give me an example of what love was for her. And she said that when she was dating a now husband of 9,000 years, he used to scratch her head. They'd lay in bed and he would scratch her head and she would lay in bed and she would stroke his head. And so one day he says to her, you know, when you stroke my head, I don't like it. Right. And she said, oh, funny you should say that. When you scratch my head, I don't like that. But I like it if you stroke my head. Right. And he says, well, I like it if you scratch my head. Right. So it's kind of like, and I can see where their relationship has survived and thrived the X amount of years that they've been married because they've been able to have communication. Right. But like there's a thing like if you don't have I'm not even going to talk about it because I want communication in my relationship. It's really critically important to me. So needing, is needing codependent? I don't think so. But the question is, that's what I think. What do you think? So, yeah, this is the conversation tonight. Me and me wanting, this is my show, and I would like to have a boyfriend. So if there's anybody out there that has tips and not tips, but like has experience in wanting a boyfriend and wanting to create a boyfriend and wanting to be free with their needs, desires, goals, and things in a relationship, I'd love for you to call in. Yeah, this wasn't a pre-planned conversation. Like I said, the name thing was the pre-planned conversation. But this isn't a pre-planned. This is like an off-the-cuff conversation. And I think it's really important. I think that there are a lot of us out there, a lot, especially New Yorkers, right? Because we're busy, right? Or we say we're busy, right? And or we are, there's so many of us in one place that we can't even see the, we can't even see the men or the women or for the men and the women out there because there's so many, right? And also, like I would say, I've been so stuck in my head about not needing anyone that even if somebody had come up to me and said they wanted to be in a relationship with me and they needed to be in a, I wouldn't have heard it. I clearly would not have heard it because I would have possibly all my own internal judgments and my own fears, right? Fear of needing somebody and then being disappointed, right? What is that like? I have no idea. I have no idea what the level of disappointment is that I would be afraid of. It doesn't even live in reality, right? But it lives somewhere or has lived in somewhere in my conversations, which has lived in the way I have being and lived in where I don't have a relationship. So like I said, it was a blind spot. And so now that I've discovered that blind spot, what actions are there for me to take, right? I don't know. I had this conversation today with a lady and she was like, she said, wow, you're being really brave in having this conversation, right? And I said, she goes, I would never have this conversation. She said that her heart was so broken into pieces and pretty much, you know, she's recovering from breast cancer. But one of the medications that the doctors had provided her can cause sometime in the future heart problems, right? So she was like, you know, she wasn't really surprised because she said, my heart is so broken, it's inevitable that I would have something that will cause it problems. And she said what she has actually done is given up looking for relationships. She's just like completely given up. How many women and men out there that have been heartbroken, right? That to the point where they're so hurt, so disturbed, so afraid to step out and create relationships. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of them. Hi, Bobby Ann. Aw, thank you. I am perfect. You are perfect. So are you, right? So I just want to share, like, a few years ago when I first got divorced, my history is this. So I met my husband, came to America, left my family's home, married my husband, and that was it. 12 years later, I'm out here on my own, you know, trying to figure out my life on my own. It wasn't something that I'd never lived on my own, and I've now lived on my own a long time, but I hadn't lived on my own and I hadn't actually dated. right? And that was a challenge. So what happened was I had, this was the time when I tried, people said to me, don't do it, but I tried at the time, the Village Voice personals, because I just wanted to try it, right? I mean, we had Match.com and stuff like that, but I just wanted to try the personals just for the hell of it. And I actually met this guy on there, and we were talking on the phone. My advice to people is, like, when you meet somebody, whether it's Match.com, whether it's OkCupid, no matter what online dating service, do not prolong a conversation of months and months or weeks of conversations. And I'll tell you why. Because your brain can't tell if it's real or not. And when you actually meet the person, right? But let me, I'm going to put a pin in that for now, but I'm going to tell you the personals conversation, right? So I was talking on the phone and I met this guy and he says to me, so what do you look like? And I said to him, I'm fabulous, I'm beautiful. And he says to me, do you look like Tyra Banks? Because I said, no, I look better than Tyra Banks. Because Tyra Banks is Tyra Banks and I am me. So clearly I can't look like Tyra Banks because she looks like herself and I look like me. So anyway, we made a date. Hi, Hoffa, how are you? So we made a date and I met him in the village. So he comes up to me and he says, you don't look anything like Tyra Banks. And I said that. I don't look like Tyra Banks. Hello, Tyra Banks is Tyra Banks. I am Noreen. So, and anyway, I said to him, because one of the things I have is I have a tooth conversation. If you're my friend, you will know that I have a conversation about teeth, right? I'm obsessed with teeth, right? So I said, you said that you had really nice teeth, right? So he looked at me like, but you know, he had so many gaps. Literally, you needed rope to do floss. You couldn't use floss because it wasn't enough. Anyway, long story short of it, I said, maybe we should just have a coffee. He goes, no, maybe we should have something to eat. And I said, hi, Jerry. And I said, no, maybe we should just have a coffee. So he goes, no, we'll just eat. And the place that I can't even remember the name that we were going to, the name of the restaurant was gross, right? Like that wasn't the name, but it was a horrible name of the restaurant. And so anyway, we go into the restaurant, but you know what? I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, I'll finish the story.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, and we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, not talking about names, but talking about wanting to be in a relationship, needing to be in a relationship. So anyway, I was saying at the break that I met this guy and we sat down and we ordered food. I ordered my food and he ordered his food. Then he changed his food and ordered a drink. And I said, you're not going to eat. And he says, no, I'm just going to have a drink. And I'm like, well, damn, bro, you just had me order food. right? And now you're having a drink. Now, during the course of the week, when I was talking to this guy, he had shared that he had gone out on a number of dates from the personals and that the women were all horrible, right? And I'm thinking, well, like, how can you go out on a bunch of dates? Even if you go out on two dates, how can the women be horrible, right? Something wasn't right. So anyway, my food comes and he's got his drink and he's drunk it and he says, well, I'm going to leave now. I'm going to leave now. And I'm like, what? What? No, you're not going to leave. You're not going to leave, right? I said, you're going to sit here and you're going to watch me eat this food, right? Because I was going to eat the food. So anyway, he sat there and in that moment, I just became like a bull, right? Like, I just got really mad for myself and mad for the women that he had gone out with. Because think about it, you know, being a coach now, I know that it takes something for some women to like let go, release their broken hearts, take a step out and start dating again, right? And it takes something because you gotta bring your whole self, meaning you gotta be confident, you gotta be creative, you know, and they fix you. You spend time putting yourself together to meet some guy who you have this theory in your head that he might be the one, right? And he does this number on you. I'm like, So I took my food and my drink and all the condiments and I shoved them into his lap and everything just went everywhere. It was in that moment, there was a show that used to come on and they used a lot of silent scenes. In that moment, it was a silent scene because everybody's heads whipped towards our table and the stuff is everywhere. And I said, that is for me. And that is for all the women that you have disrespected this week. You are despicable and you're a pig. Right? I got up and I got my coat and I whipped it around my body and I walked out of the restaurant. Now, I'm not advocating. Please, I am not advocating that you cause mayhem. But one has to be responsible. You can't go out there and hurt people, right? And make people feel smaller and it takes something to get up and go out on a date, right? It takes something to stand there and be chosen or not be chosen, right? And often a lot of us are dealing with issues of rejection. We don't want to be rejected. But the fact of the matter is nobody can reject us. But a lot of people, they don't understand that because it's real for them, right? And so I was living with this guy and I felt vindicated. And I felt, you know, if not for myself, but for those women, that no, you just don't do that to people. So that's what I did. Now, I was going to share another story about dating, which has probably gone out of my brain right now. I should write things down. But like when I think that we have to be nicer to people, we have to be nicer to each other. Right? Because we're all looking for that one person. I'm looking for one person. I'm not looking for two men. I barely have enough energy for myself. I'm looking for one good man. It's like the army. I'm looking for one good man who is willing to deal with all of this, right? All of this. Let's do it again. Jazz hands, all of this. Right? So, and who wants to have fun and who wants to accept me for who I am with all my craziness, with all my curiosity, with all my creativity, with all my grumpiness that I know that I'm grumpy, right? And that would allow me the space to just be me because I'm going to allow you the space to be you. Right? And I'm perfect inside of all my imperfections. And so will you be perfect inside of all your imperfections and really be willing to share all that you know about yourself and all the stuff that you don't know about yourself. Because what I know is that, you know, I'm good, right? I'm good. I'm all good, as they say. But with another person, I don't know how I'm going to be with that person, but I know what I want to create. I know what I'm open to. And so I've always heard these stories about women saying that, you know, or men saying, I'm all good. I don't need nobody. Right. I don't need a relationship and I'm all good. I'm really great when I'm not in a relationship. But when I'm in a relationship, shit happens. Right. And the fact is, and even though I said shit and my sister would be like pissed off because I said shit, she said that she doesn't listen to my show if I curse. So I guess she's just hung up on me. Right. But, you know, it's like we have to be willing to just be with the person in a way that one expands ourselves. I don't know what I'm going to be like in a relationship with a person, but I know what I would like to be like, which is myself and be open and share and get to know the person. You know, it's like we have to go out together. We have to talk to each other. I have a friend who he's probably listening. And one of the things that he said that he does with his boyfriends is he has date nights. And what date night means is that they stay home, they eat dinner, and they get to know each other. They talk and they share and they find out about each other's family and they find out about the things that they like and that they don't like. And they just get to know each other. And, you know, I thought about that for a moment. And I said, technically, if you go out with somebody, like we have 52 weeks in a year, right? And if we're dating somebody where we're actually going out maybe two times a week, that's only 104 times, right? So I'm going to see you two times a week. And maybe, so when we start doing the do, right, we start having sex and stuff. So we might do that for a couple of hours in bed, but the rest of the time we might snuggle and talk till the sun comes up in the beginning. But as we move along, we might, you know, do the do, talk a little bit, and the rest of that time is sleeping. So the fact is that I'm only spending a certain amount of time and a certain amount of hours with you. Right. And it's a certain amount of time, a certain amount of hours that I'm going to get to know you. Right. I can't know everything about you in 104 dates. Right. I was listening to actually watching Markle's and Prince Harry's engagement story yesterday on Netflix. And they started dating and their first date was in Botswana in a tent. Right. Right. So I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking Botswana in a tent. I'm thinking of a regular tent, right? Like a regular tent where you put a stake in the ground. But then I had to think about it. No, they're not doing that's not the kind of tent they're staying in. They're in Botswana in a they're glamping, right? As opposed to camping, right? And they probably have servants and I don't know, but I'm just making this up. They might have servants, people that is luxurious. It's not going to be like a regular old tent, right? It's probably like a 30,000, 40,000 5-day trip, whereas, you know, maybe the average person is like a couple of thousand, right? And he flew her out there in his private jet or whatever. And so they were talking about they had 6 months to build their relationship in privacy, right? Before it became public. And so he said that they went to Botswana, spent some 6 days together, and then they always had to schedule their diaries to actually spend time with each other. They've been together, they were in the making of that show. They've been together not quite 2 years, right? So you think about it. She's filming, he's doing whatever his royal duties. I'm not clear if they spent 104 dates together. They might have actually spent less. And I'm sure he had his people do his due diligence, right? And she did whatever she did, right? But really what they said is they made a commitment in that short space of time. He knew that he wanted to be with her and that he made a commitment to actually be in this relationship. And there are things that she has to deal with that she can't possibly imagine, right? There are, you know, the press started attacking her about her racial stuff and just started going off on her. he got really upset and angry about it and made a request of the news not to do that, right? But there he is, he's royal, he's this, that, and the other, just trying to have a regular life, right? Trying to have a regular relationship, but he's got people that can do due diligence. I don't have people who can do due diligence. You and I, who are listeners, don't have people that are going to do due diligence. We have to do our own due diligence. That means we have to discover as much about ourselves, right, that we can, so that we can share ourselves completely and as much as we can with this other person. And God willing, you know, that this person is in that space to share about themselves, right? So I know it's not easy, but it's supposed to be easy, because I think when you actually meet somebody that you connect with and that you, when I meet somebody that I can connect with and that I'm in alignment with, it will be easy, because the conversations will flow. The energy will flow. Because I think if you listen to anybody that's in a relationship, I know there's a couple of people on this who is watching this show right now who are in relationships and who are married, that when they met that person, their relationship flowed, the energy flowed, and it went the way. And that's why they can be in these relationships. So I don't know, but that's just what I feel right now. So nobody's called in. I guess nobody wants to talk about relationships, but it's really okay. Hoffa, why don't you call in and tell me what you think, if you're still there? Yeah, so I'm going to take this break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So I just want to share two stories, and why I want to share these two stories is to just nail down the point that we make up stories in our head, right? So I am guilty of making up stories in my head, and in the past I literally believed them. I really thought this was real, right? But now I know that I have the ability to make up stories in my head, and I have to check myself. So one story is with somebody in my community. There was this guy in my community that I made up a whole world of stories about. And every time I saw this guy, I would just sneer at him. Like literally sneer. I would look at him and I would cut my eyes. I would roll my eyes. And I'm not really good at that. Some people can cut their eyes and you know that they're doing, but me, I have to, it's almost like I have to move my head to do that. because it's so, it feels so weird. I'm not really good at that. And so this went on for years, right? Where I was like, and he probably might, he could probably attest to this story. This went on for years whereby I would just look at him. Every time I saw him, I would just look at him. And when the summer came, I knew he'd be out, right? And I would look at him and give him a look and keep it walking. And I made up all these stories about this guy. And one day I'm like walking down the street and I see him and I said to myself, you know what, Noreen, you need to give that shit up, right? You just like really need to give up that story about this man. And so I went up to him and I said to him, you know what, I need to apologize to you. I've made up all these stories about your this and you. I'm not going to go into details about who he is. I mean, even though I know you won't know him, but still, I made up this story about you're this and you're that, and you know, you're this kind of person and you're dangerous and you're like corrupt in the neighborhood and all this stuff. And I said to him, and I just want to apologize to you. And so I apologized to him. It was so moving for me, right? And he accepted my apology and said, it's all good. Today, this guy and I are really great. I mean, like, I say great friends, and like we can talk. I feel safe when he's in the community. He's got my back. You know, it's just like a really good, wholesome guy. But I would never have, had I not gave up the story that I made up about him, I wouldn't have this friendship with him today. And he is an avid listener of my show. And I'm really proud and happy to have him as one of my listeners. I might have him on the show one day. Who's calling? Bruce on one? Yeah, I'll take Bruce. Oh, headphones.
Hello, Noreen.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Good. I was listening from the moment that you came on.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I heard that nobody was calling, so I decided to fix that.
Thank you for fixing it.
So let me tell you, it was going really well until you mentioned the Army comment.
The Army comment. All right. Okay.
You said something about when the guy's dating you, it's going to be something like the Army. I kind of lost it, but...
What do you mean you lost it? You laughed?
No, I kind of lost where you were going with that.
Okay, so I would say, you know, like how in the Army that there was a commercial that used to come up and it would say... Mm-hmm. I've done more than you by eight, you know, something to the effect of like, they've done so many different things by the time we wake up in the morning.
Right.
That's how it's going to be. It's like you're in the Army. You've gone out, you've done a mission. You've like, you know, checked out the perimeter. You've done all these wonderful, amazing things before the average person gets up in the morning. It's going to be fun. It's on. Is that clear for you?
Oh, yeah, a lot better.
Okay. Anything else? How is dating for you, or how was marriage for you, or whatever your circumstances is?
We're not going to talk about my love life.
Well, we're not going to talk about that. Okay,
then. Not talking about my love life right now. Yeah, no, we won't touch my love life right now. that's a whole other show for you.
Oh, that's a whole other show.
So
you need a whole show.
I need a whole show to talk about me, and there won't be a show for that.
Well, you know what it is? If I need a whole show, it's a whole bag of stories. Because it's, in a nutshell, it's good, it works, or it doesn't work. That's it. In a couple of words. But anyway, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you. And
yes.
Go do some Army living.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, what you said made a lot of sense. You know, you just keep on... You know, you mentioned Match.com and you mentioned a few other things. Just keep on, you know, looking for just somebody you're compatible with.
And no, I'm going to look for somebody I'm not compatible with.
Oh, okay. Well, no, that's... Well, I say that because a lot of people don't. A lot of people just want to meet somebody and they don't really care if they're compatible or not. And later on,
I'm going to beg to differ. I'm going to think that everybody is looking for somebody that they're compatible with. And they might not be clear about what compatibility is, but I don't think anyone in their right mind wants to be with somebody they're not compatible with. So there's something
that
is pulling them together.
Well, the question that I have is when they say opposites attract, but the question is, do opposites stay together?
I don't know. You're going to have to tell me, right? Because I actually wouldn't want to date somebody that was exactly like me. I think it would be pretty boring.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I would like to date somebody that's completely opposite from who I am.
Well,
I'm like high energy.
Sure.
I am high energy. Maybe I need somebody that can balance my energy out, right? They know they have quiet time and like maybe can allow me and show me how to be quiet with them, right?
So is a perfect guy for you an extrovert or an introvert?
I have no idea, but I'm open to have a look. And he could be an extrovert in a different way than I am. He could be an introvert and really love being with me, who is an extrovert, because it might balance us out.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, definitely about the compatibility thing. What I meant, though, is that some people are just desperate. I mean, the people who are desperate, and I'm not playing devil's advocate anyway here. I'm saying that what I've noticed that some of the people, not everyone, you know, they don't think about the compatibility. They think about just, you know, having somebody. But what I notice is that you're right. You can't have someone exactly like you, and you can't have somebody completely not like you. You just have to overlap and kind of approach it from, you know, I'll teach you this kind of passion, you know, and you teach me your passion, and we'll enjoy life together. It's obviously not that easy. It's not that simple. But
no, you know, I'm not going to say it's easy. It isn't easy. But what I'm looking for, something that, as Sam said just recently or just now, is effortless, right? It's painless. I don't have to, like, push. I don't have to force anything, right? The person is not furniture, right? But I would like it to be in alignment and cause it to be effortless, like a walk in the park, but we have our differences, but what we have most of all is respect, right? And we can agree to disagree and still get on with each other, because we're human beings after all. I'm not static, right? They're not static. We're fluid and flexible people. And I would like a fluid and flexible relationship that is constantly growing. And I really don't think that people say that, you know, you're saying about desperate people, but if you're in a relationship and people can see, maybe they don't see that they're being desperate. To them, it's just, they're just looking for what they're looking for. And it's okay. Because if it doesn't work, at least they walk away learning something, and they might not even be aware that they've learned something. But as they move on, as they go on, they will realize that worked for me, that didn't work for me, and what do I want to create going forward? Otherwise, we just are doomed to repeat the same thing over and over again.
Sure. No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any type of relationship that's out there that's perfectly effortless. That would be nice in a perfect world, but you know, love and.
But whose world are you talking about? Whose world?
Take a lot of work. It doesn't matter how perfect it is. It's like you said, we're all human. You know, women get moody, men get moody. You know, you can, you know, and obviously when you're, you know, you're dating, you know, let me tell you something.
When was the last time you dated?
I won't tell you exactly when, but I dated a woman who it was going very well. Until about 6 months, until she showed me her moody side. And I was kind of blindsided about it because, you know, somebody, you know, the question is it effortless? Like how, you know, when does somebody actually let their guard down and show you their true self? And then the other person has to decide, can I handle this? You know, and if I'm thinking marriage, can I handle this for the rest of my life? You know, it's not easy, but I know what you're saying.
I don't think
nice
you, I actually don't think you know
never,
what I'm
never
saying.
Is, is it?
Because you know what? The person that I am going to be with, I hope they have a moody side and I hope they can manage their moody side. Because like I said at the beginning of the show, I feel grumpy, right? I'm grumpy right now, right? And I'm having a conversation. I'm not grumpy when I'm in the conversation, but I'm sure when I walk away, possibly when I walk away, grumpy might come back. Right. But the fact is people are allowed to be themselves. And just because I date somebody for 6 months and I don't see their grumpy side or their moody side doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. It just means they have a moody side and I either choose it or I don't choose it. But I have a moody side. It doesn't rear its head very often. That's why I'm asking, where's grumpy coming from? But anyway, I just want to thank you for coming on the show.
You.
and trying to fix it. And we got 3 more minutes, and I want to close out, but I want to say thank you so much for calling in. Have a great evening. Yeah. So we are now coming to the end of the show, and I just want to, we've got 2 more minutes, and I just want to say thank you, Bruce, for calling in. Thank you for your opinions. But, and, you know, my whole show is about opinions and ideas and thoughts and what I feel and what people feel and what my guests come on the show and what they feel and what they create. And like, and the words of Tommy, who when I was 13, I worked in his wife's hair dressing shop, and he was a gangster, right? Tommy would say, "No, they've all got arseholes. Everybody's got an arsehole, right? Everybody's got an opinion. And they're like arseholes, and everybody's got one." So, like, you know, God rest Tommy's soul. He's dead now, but he lives very much alive in my world when it comes to opinions. It keeps me focused and balanced and lets me know my opinions are just my opinions and somebody else's opinions are just their opinions. And God willing, I'm going to meet an amazing man with his opinions, and we're going to share opinions together. So this is Noreen Sumter. Sumter. From Beyond Potential, live life your way. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.